philosophy, which the title of this book kind of scared me at first. Y'all can sit down and relax. Because philosophy to me sounded secular for some reason. I was thinking psychiatry or psychology or something. Christian philosophy, basically, just we know that that philosophy is how we think about any given issue. And having studied chapter 6, Can I Know God? We should be able to firmly respond to chapter 7, Is God Angry With Me? With a very resounding no, he's not. Amen? I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. A couple of weeks ago, Lee was preaching from this vicinity in the Word, and I just kept reading down and ran across these scriptures. And I want to read them to you, if I can manage the Bible and the microphone and everything else here. The heading on it says, The Certainty of God's Witness. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified to his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. What does it mean to bear witness? To me, I guess in short, the short version, my translation of that would be, it just means to carry a testimony. For years, I was involved with the Cowboy Church movement in Arizona, and people would want to share their testimony, and I love that. We like to have them, but it always went back to the testimony of when they got saved. And we have an ongoing current testimony every day, or we should have. I have a forward-moving testimony. And so if I'm carrying a testimony, then should not it be what we just read here? If nothing else, I can say, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and I bear witness. I have that testimony in my spirit, man. I have that in my soul. I have that settled in my heart. That's what I believe. That's what I bear witness to. That's my testimony. And then we share whatever God has given us during the day, miracles we've seen and experienced, changes that we've had in our lives. We figured out in this Christian philosophy book that we will live what we think. I can't think one thing and live something else. What I think will take me through my life. And I think that part of the reason for that is that, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what came with that was the knowledge of good and evil. And I think that we as human beings deal with that constantly. The enemy is always trying to bring us back to the knowledge of good and evil. The question becomes, is it my good? My opinion of what's good? My opinion of what's evil? Or yours? Or somebody else's? Or do we base it on what's in here? And if we don't know what's in here, then we base it on our opinion or our belief system, because that's what we adhere to, because that's what we think. I think a really good example for that would be a huge question that's going around today. What is our governing body going to do about gun violence? And I know that everybody in this room may have a completely different opinion about what we should do with that. President Trump met for several hours with a whole room full of people trying to figure out the answer to that. I want to look at Proverbs 17:26. And I've heard this as people's opinion, and yet here it is in the Word. Also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. My translation in my other Bible says, that why punish somebody for doing good just because somebody did something bad? That is a very strong opinion in what we're dealing with today. I want to, you know, ask you what should be done about mental health. We probably all would have a little different opinion about that. And yet, we know what we do about our mental health. We speak the word that says, I have the mind of Christ. And I submit my mind to the power of the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And I speak healing to my mind, and I speak healing to my body consistently. What should be done about the healthcare system? There again, you can poll a room and you can get all kinds of different opinions about that. But for us as Christians, what we should do about the healthcare system is we take it to God. We take our needs, we take our sickness, we take our infirmities. I was on my way to a doctor Tuesday. My back went out, and I was on my way to Cottonwood to go to the chiropractor, and I got down here to the corner, and all of a sudden I just knew I wasn't supposed to go. So I just pulled over, and I laid hands on my back, and I started commanding that thing to line up with the Word of God that said I'm healed. I took it authority over my infirmities, and I commanded that back become firm where it belongs. I didn't have a solution for the whole healthcare system problem, but I sure had a solution to my back right then. And by the time I got home, I was fine. Amen. What should be done about any other given question should be answered by first going to the Word of God in prayer. Not by grabbing a one-liner from the Bible and making a stand on that, but taking the time to search the Word and to pray about what the solution to your problem is. And then taking those solutions and applying them to your life. Bearing testimony. Even if I'm talking to myself, I'm bearing testimony, I'm bearing witness. This is what the Word says, and I've seen it work in my life, and it's healed me, and it's made me whole, and it's brought me through deliverance. And so I know that I know that I know. This is my answer. And yet, you know, we know that Jesus is the answer to every solution, to every problem that we've got. Bob and I were talking before service about the struggle that we have to convince other people that that's the solution to the problem. That's been the solution to the problem for over 2,000 years. And yet there's man's inhumanity to man is still rampant on the face of the earth. That doesn't alter the fact that it's the answer to the problem. It doesn't alter the fact that's our solution. I might go to Proverbs 29:15 for part of my answer. Let's look there. Proverbs 29:15. And this has to do with these kids that are completely out of hand. I'm a little old-fashioned, but this right here says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Sometimes they just need a good whooping. But you can go to jail for that if you get carried away. And I remember when my kids were little and the school started telling them, oh, well, your parents can't do that. Your parents can't touch you. And mine tried that with me. They got a whooping, and they were like, we're going to call the sheriff's office, and they're going to come lock you up because you can't do that to us. And I said, you know what? Call them. Here's the phone. But it's going to take them 10 minutes to get here, and you're going to get another one between now and then, guaranteed. So have at it. Here's the phone. Oh, they didn't call my bluff. They didn't call. And that was fine with me, too. Let's look at Proverbs 24:21. I love this one. I do. I love this one. My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. One of the translations that I looked up says very simply, fear God, dear child. Respect your leaders. Don't be defiant or mutinous. Without warning, your life can turn upside down, and who knows how or when it might happen. Who knows how or when it might happen? How many people's lives have been just completely turned upside down in the last week, 10 days? I might even try the old wives' instruction, spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, I tried to find that in the scripture. I can't find it. But I like it. Suits me fine. Now I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Now let's go to 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Some of the translations say that we have been given the message of reconciliation. I will stand on the ministry of reconciliation. We don't just carry a message. The nice thing about a message of reconciliation is that you can just take a message and give it. Evangelists have a message, and they give it, then they get in their car and they leave, and we get to clean the fish they caught, right? But if we have the ministry of reconciliation, then we have to do things like hospice and home visits, and taking someone a meal when they need it, or just stopping by and praying with someone. Call somebody on the phone and check up with them and then follow through. The word follow through fits in with the ministry of reconciliation. It's easy to have a message of reconciliation. It takes a little bit more, it's a little bit more of an input when you have the ministry of reconciliation. If we come to know God intimately, which I believe everyone in this room has, and is learning more and more to be more intimate with him, then we come to understand that he is not angry with me. He's not angry about me. You know, I grew up under the teaching, God will forgive you, but he is not pleased with you. And if you don't get a grip and if you don't behave yourself, then God's going to punish you. And when Lee started this grace message, what, 7 years ago now? Ten? No, it was only seven. Only seven. Let's just go with seven. Several years ago. I was in his office every Monday morning. Well, yeah, but what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and blah, blah, blah. I he'd hear my voice on the phone going, I need to talk to you. And he'd be like, I know. I could just hear him on the other end of the line going, again? Again? Still? What don't you get? And yet, I'd heard that grace message many, many, many years ago. One of the Bible study groups I was in read Destined to Reign years before we ever started here. But it didn't click. It didn't sink in. I was still, that my Christian philosophy was still holding on to that thing. Well, God will forgive you, but he's not pleased with you. And the enemy was so faithful to remind me of all of the reasons that God was not pleased with me. And I was like a rubber ball bouncing around on a padded cell, just beating my head against a brick wall. Well, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? It has been such a comfort to just settle in and go, you know what? I can't fix anything anyway. It's all about you. It's all about what you did. All about what you're doing. All about what the Holy Spirit is teaching me. It's all about just reading your word and letting it saturate my brain so that my Christian philosophy lines up with the love of God and the peace that passes understanding. The blessings that he's put in here, not condemnation. Not you need to get your act together or you will never be any good to anybody. I can't be any good to anybody without the Lord anyway. Other than being a pacifier or a little bit of help or maybe a cheerleader or an encourager. But I don't want to just be an encourager and a cheerleader. I want to be an exhorter. I want to have that ministry of reconciliation. And I know you guys do too. We just have to rearrange that thought process that tells us, well, for whatever reason, you can't do that. You probably don't need to do that. God will put somebody on my heart and I'll pray and then he'll say, now you need to go. And I'm like, well, I probably don't really need to do that. I prayed. That'll probably do more good than I could anyway. Not so. We have the ministry of reconciliation to tell them that their worldly philosophy could be as twisted as mine was, to encourage them and exhort them that he's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. I want to look at Hebrews 10, 15 through 18. And this scripture used to really confuse me sometimes till I really started applying grace to this scripture. Let's start in 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. See, the Holy Spirit bears witness too, doesn't he? For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, and I love this part. This is such a precious word to me. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If God isn't interested in remembering them, then why do I? Because the enemy has come and whispered in my ear something from my old philosophy, and I haven't renewed my mind to this new philosophy that God is good, that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's another one. I just fall back on that one so many times. To me, that's such a prime example of God's word saying, I'm not angry with you. Christ wasn't angry. You know, I've heard it preached that when he went into the temple, he was angry and he cleared out the temple. It doesn't say he was angry. We assume that he must have been angry to do that, but he wasn't. We've been studying in the ladies' Bible study about authority and power and what God has given us in that. And there's a word called dunamis that we get our word dynamite from. And it's an internal power that God gifted us. And I was thinking about him clearing out the temple one day, and I went, oh, there's that dunamis power that just rose up in him, and it exploded out of him, and he just cleaned out the temple and purified it. He wasn't mad. You don't have to get mad to experience that dunamis power that explodes out of you. You just have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit telling you, you have the authority to take control over some of these things, even my thoughts. Sometimes I have to say, I take authority over those thoughts and I cast them down. They will not bear fruit in my life anymore because they're destructive. They led me into sorrow and grief for too many years, living in condemnation, thinking that God was going to forgive me, but he wasn't pleased with me. What a relief to find out I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. He's not angry with me. He loves me. But, you know, I have to tell myself that. Even Pastor Prince says it doesn't take him very long to lose sight of that. He just goes 3 or 4 days and doesn't remind himself he's the righteousness of God in Christ. And it starts fading and he starts hearing that old voice again. Well, as much as that guy soaks himself in grace, and that still gets a hold of him sometimes, heavens to Betsy, I better be on my toes, and I better be speaking that to myself, thinking it, renewing my mind with that. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And if we read what Christ did in here, what he said to people, and understand that's exactly what God would say to you. And what he is saying to you in the Holy Spirit, if you'll just hear him and listen. The Holy Spirit has become our teacher, our comforter. He's so many precious, wonderful things. And so, you know, what do you think about God? What do you think about Christ? What do you think about the Holy Spirit? There are lots of churches that still teach that the Holy Ghost is the ghost of Christ after he died, come back. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. And yet I run into people all the time that say, oh, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Christ. Just about through, though. You guys are going to get out of here really early. And I promise, when I say I'm done, I'll be done. If we really believe what it says in here about our Father, and we bear testimony, we bear witness, we carry that testimony with us, not only who he is, but who we are in him, we may never say or witness to anyone or share our testimony with anyone, but we will carry that with us, and people will know there's something a little different about you. And it won't just be because your family tree is full of nuts. It will be because there's really something different about you. I want to go back now to the very first scripture verse in 1 John. And I want to reread that in closing. Whoops. Poor Bible's been banged around so much. First John chapter 5, and let's go back through, starting with verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Think about that. You believe in God, you have the witness in yourself. That's how easy it is to bear witness. If you have accepted Christ, you are bearing witness of who he is. That's a big responsibility in a way. And if that's all I accomplish, if that's all I do between now and the time I go to be with the Lord, just bear witness that he is who he said he was. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. A lot of people don't believe our testimonies. You know, I kind of, when Lee starts talking about the deliverances that he's seen on the mission field, and I've seen lots of them right here in Chino Valley. Lots of them. And yet, when you share that with somebody, they go, oh, yeah, right. Listen, a friend of mine committed adultery, came back to her husband, and I went to visit with her, and a demonic spirit actually changed her eyes, and his voice spoke from her. And when I asked her, I said, don't you want to get rid of that thing? She said, not really. I said, what? She said, well, you know, it gave me power, and I really don't want to turn loose of that. And I was like, but you got all the power you need in the authority of Christ. Why would you even want to mess with that other stuff? Because her Christian philosophy had gotten perverted and twisted. I have all the authority, all the power, everything I need in the Holy Ghost. There's kind of a teaching that's kind of creeping in, that there's another spirit that is the spirit of the Lord, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a different spirit. I'm like, no. We don't need anything but the Holy Spirit, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. Why do we need anything other than that? It just convolutes things and makes things goofy. The Holy Spirit has got everything in him that we need. All the fruit and all the gifts, they're all inherent in the Holy Spirit. And that's what bears witness to me. And when I really believe that, and I know that God's not mad at me, can I really know God? Sure. Absolutely, you can know God. It just takes getting acquainted with his word and with the Holy Spirit and leaning on him and listening to him when he speaks to you. I've had people say, oh, I don't hear God. He doesn't speak to me. That's not true. That is so not true. He is speaking to anyone and everyone who will fine-tune their ear and just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Women will understand this. When your kids were little or are little, and they're running through the house. Guys, too, probably, but I remember when my kids were little, I knew where they were all the time. And if I couldn't hear them, I went hunting them. But I knew which room they were in. I knew if it got too quiet, I had to go check on them. And I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I don't want to miss you. And he reminded me of that. He said, you know how you used to hear your kids? If you'll listen for me that way, you won't miss me. You'll hear me. Just incline your ear to me. And know that I'm not angry at you. I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have you close to me. I want to be close to you. And ours is just to respond. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And believe when you read that God is not mad. And he does love you. And yes, you can know him. And we renew our mind to a Christian philosophy. It makes life so much sweeter and so much better. And people around us enjoy us more. Our children really enjoy us a lot more. Amen. And that's all I have. I am done. Yes. James 3:17. Let's look at James 3:17. What she said was, when you hear that voice, knowing that it's his voice is very important. You know, we've been listening to our own voice for a long time. Yeah, this is like the spiritual scale that I weigh everything with. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you're hearing a voice and it is telling you anything besides those, then it's not the voice of God. It's the enemy sneaking in there, trying to tell you something different. And that's a whole nother teaching, how to really hear the voice of God and know when you're hearing God. Prophets that are moving today might say things that don't quote the word exactly, but when they speak, your spirit will bear witness with what they're saying, and you will know that is God. Or your spirit man will go, urch, like it did with me when they were telling me about the spirit of the Lord. That's not the Holy Spirit, it's a different, and my spirit man was just going off like popcorn. No, 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 no. You have to listen. Get in the habit of listening. Okay? Whoop! I said I was done, and then I started up again, didn't I? It's something on the pulpit up here. I'll move over here, and maybe it'll really work. Okay, God bless you. Thanks for coming tonight. I hope you got something out of this.